Merry Christmas to you all. I hope you are ready for Christmas morning tomorrow and ready for dinner tonight after this service. Let me tell you that we just read Luke chapter 2, and thank you for reading, and thank your church for coming tonight. Listen, if you've seen the show before, you know what I'm talking about, the show 24. Anyways, in that show, it always says previously on 24. You guys heard that before? And what they're doing, and if you haven't seen it, it's okay, but what they're doing is at the beginning of every episode, they're telling you kind of what happened in the episodes leading up to it. Just because, you know, in some of those previous episodes, some questions were raised that are being answered in the episode that you're about to watch. Some problems may have come about that are being resolved in the episode you're about to watch. And so it's helpful for you to know what was previously on 24. And so I think that I share that and I start with that because the original Christmas, the first Christmas with baby Jesus, I mean, it's an amazing beginning, right? Hello? I mean, we started time. It was so great. 2022. We count from there. Such a great beginning. But I think it's important that we remember around the time of Christmas that it's not just a beginning. It's not just a beginning. There was a previously in the Bible. There were promises made by God that the story of Christmas is showing us that those promises have been kept. And that's really important. And what I want to talk to you about this evening, the idea that God follows through. That's the idea. And really, there's something about a long-kept promise. Something about it. I'll tell you a story. Over 150 years ago, a natural disaster forced this family in China, the Wan family, to their ancestors to move away from where they lived abruptly and move to this village called Dashahe. Anyways, I know it's such a random story, but I promise it's great. And you can see the picture of one of the members of the Wan family on the screen, Kijin Wan, and he is 79 years old. Anyways, when they moved to this new village after the disaster forced them abruptly to go there, they were graciously given an acre of farmland by the people of that area so that they could live. And to show their gratitude and in response to the people giving them this acre of land, they made a promise to do something for free and forever and to never stop doing it. And the promise was that they would ferry people across the small Dashahe River for as long as they were there. And it's just an amazing story because they're still doing it. 150 years ago, this promise was made. This man, Kijin Wan, is a third-generation ferryman in his family. Sometimes he crosses this little river 40 times per day. And you can see the way the oars have worn out his hands on the slide behind me. So from the article that I read about this, when I stumbled across it, I'll just read to you a quote. It says, Kijin Wan says, "We all need to repay people's kindness. We will never forget the promise our ancestors made," he said, firmly believing that it will be kept and passed on from generation to generation. And he said, "I will keep ferrying till the day I am no longer capable. I will always be a ferryman here when people need my services." So question, would you ride in his ferry? Would you put your family in his ferry? Would you trust this guy? Yes, because he's so trustworthy. There's something that just sort of, you know, inspires your heart when you hear about a promise kept over generations like that. And I think the thing about Christmas that we need to remind ourselves of this year is that God's promise kept in Christmas is the greatest promise that's ever been. That our Creator, the God who created the world, that he made a promise thousands of years ago that he would save us, that he would deliver us from our great peril, that he would bring us back into a relationship with him and into right relationship with one another and with creation. He promised to do that for those who trust in him. And so what we want to look at as we look at Luke 2 is how Luke is telling his story in such a way to really show us that this promise has been kept by God. The promise that God made was specific. It was to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, that they would somehow, that these guys would somehow, that Israel be a blessing to the whole world. The promise was made to Adam and Eve in the garden, that their offspring, that someone from them would destroy the serpent. The promise was made to David that his family line, even in his very hometown of Bethlehem, that is where the promised Savior would be born. And these are all promises that were made thousands of years before the first Christmas. But you know that at the first Christmas, those people were watching and waiting and wondering, how will God fulfill all these great promises that he's made? So that's what Luke 2 is about. Enter the story of Christ, the story of Christmas, a uniquely born child of the tribe of Judah in the family line of King David, born where? In Bethlehem. That's what happened. And so I just want to quickly look, and very quickly, at three truths from this passage that we looked at. And the first one is this: God is able to follow through because he is sovereign over every person and everything. His hand is on history. The main point of our meditation on Luke 2 is that we can be certain that God follows through. And the first way and reason and truth is this one, that God is able to follow through because he's sovereign. All right? Verse 1, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Do you see that? Caesar Augustus. Sovereign Caesar, right? You see it? The emperor of the Roman Empire. The guy that came up with the Pax Romana, was known for peace, was worshipped as a god. He required something. Did you see that? He said, all the world should be, do you see it in verse 1? Vaccinated. No, he said registered. He said registered. You see this powerful man requiring everybody to do what he wants them to do. Caesar Augustus. He's an international VIP. You want to look for a powerful king, an important person in world history at this time that Luke is writing, you look in Rome, not Bethlehem. So that's how Luke starts this radical story in verse 2. He says, this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. All went, each to his own town. What's he setting up here? Look at verse 4. And Joseph and Mary, father and mother of Jesus, and Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So here's a quick question, just one true-false question. True or false? Sovereign Caesar Augustus caused Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. Well, you know, it's true. And false. He did. But we know, and this is the spiritual truth here, we know there is a greater sovereign king over Caesar Augustus, whose purposes and promises in history determine every political decision ever made. The God who is behind history and over Caesar caused Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. And here we see it happening like a play. They just working God's plan. His hand is on history, and so we must see that. And before we go to the next little piece about how God has followed through, I think it's important that we stop and we recognize that God is able to follow through. He is sovereign. So whatever's going on in the world or in your world or my world, I think it's important to remind ourselves this Christmas of the sovereignty of God, the power, the ability that God has to do what he wants done. The story of Christmas screams that to us. You can be certain God follows through. Number two, God is willing to follow through because he has been faithful to his promises. God is willing to follow through today in our lives because he's been faithful to his promises yesterday. We see that in the Bible. Verse 4 again, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So they went from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That's 90 miles. They would have had to go up the Jericho Road, which is basically like going hiking, all right? They did not get the SUV out, the minivan. They did not put the car top carrier on top. This was not easy. This was a pregnant teenage mom. 90 miles hiking up the Jericho Road because of her husband's last name. Amazing. The city of David is where they are. It says the house and lineage of David. Did you notice something? Luke could have said they went to Bethlehem and been done with it. Instead, he says the name David twice in one verse. Why? Why does he do that? Why is he doubly emphasizing the name David. Why? I told you. The point that Luke has, that he's trying to make to us, is that God keeps his promises. And God had promised that one from the lineage of David would be born in Bethlehem who would save the world. He's making his point. Verse 5, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. God said in the Old Testament, thousands of years before Christmas, God said a Savior would come from King David's family and be born in Bethlehem. And what God said is exactly what is happening in Luke chapter 2, reliability, faithfulness. Consumer Reports has a report that they do yearly called the Automobile Reliability Study. They survey hundreds of thousands of their members about their automobiles, and they try to determine what's the most reliable vehicle. Anyways, so think about that. That means like a new car can never win. Okay, so like, and that's actually a thing. People say, don't buy new cars. Wait until they've had a little time and they can actually show up on the Consumer Reports Automobile Reliability Survey. About this advice, the Consumer Report Senior Director of Automobile Testing said, he said this, well, we don't tell people what to buy, but if reliability is important to you, that's pretty good advice. Is reliability important to us? Maybe this Christmas it'd be good to remind ourselves that when we put our faith in Christ, when we put our faith in Christ for salvation, when we put our faith in Christ and in what God's word says rather than maybe what we're thinking for a huge decision, when we put our faith in Christ, he's reliable. He's reliable. So the God who is able to do whatever he wants to do, listen, has chosen to follow through on his promise in a specific and spectacular way. And that should teach our hearts something. That God is willing to follow through today because he has followed through yesterday in Christ. You can be certain God follows through. He's able, he's willing. And now, lastly, Jesus is the follow through of God. Look at verse 8. In the same region where the shepherds were out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Verse 8, it talks about these fields. Did you notice that? The same region. Luke's like, hey, just to be clear, we're still in Bethlehem. Same region. The fields. It wasn't fields somewhere far away. It wasn't fields over by the wise men in the far east. Same region. Why is he doing that? Some people think, and Luke doesn't develop this in this account, but there were fields, and there are fields, near Bethlehem. That a second century Jewish book called the Mishnah actually says were the fields where the sheep that were used in temple sacrifices were kept. And so the implications of that are pretty significant. The angels in Luke 2 might be announcing Jesus' birth to the temple shepherds who inspected sheep or sacrifices in the temple. In effect, maybe almost even saying, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world is in a manger here in Bethlehem. Please go inspect this lamb. Can you go visit and worship him? Verse 10, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you, is Mary that had a baby. What are they talking about? Jesus is for everyone. Unto you, shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Did you see that in verse 10 about good news for, did it say some people? Oh, all people. Remember the promise thousands of years before to Abraham that you'll be a blessing to all nations? Promise fulfilled. Look at that. It says, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Why did Jesus come? To lie in a manger that we could all give presents? No. Jesus came to be a Savior. To be a hero, to deliver us from peril. That's what a Savior does. And it says, not just any old Savior, not just some hero, but it says, who is Christ the Lord. Now, hopefully you know, but if not, I want to tell you that Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's his title. It's his job title. Christ. Literally, the word Christos means Messiah. It means the promised and anointed one who has come to fulfill the promises of God to bring forth salvation to the world. So Jesus Christ, the promised Savior. That's how you put Christ back in Christmas, is understanding what the word Christ actually means. So Christmas is an announcement. It's an announcement. Attention, it's an announcement from heaven to you and to me that the Lamb of God has come into the world. And from the crib all the way to the cross, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world as he goes not just to a crib, but also to a cross, and pays the price of our sins. An innocent, spotless lamb, our Savior, dying a death on a cross in our place. Born to die the cradle to the cross, a Savior, not just any Savior, but Christ the Lord. And this is for everyone who turns from their sins and puts your faith in Jesus. I hope you will consider, have you done that? And you will consider doing that this Christmas. And so let me close with this John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Let me pray. Bow with me. Lord, we thank you this evening, Christmas Eve, that you're a keeper of promises, that you follow through, that we can be certain of it, that you're able, that you're willing, that you're awesome, that you have followed through in Christ. So Lord, for all of us here, Christmas means different things. We are at all different levels of readiness, whether that means food or presents or even just our hearts. So God, would you use the rest of this service to prepare our hearts for the true meaning of Christmas, the Savior, the light of the world, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.